like we were split up through immigration processes. I was knocked back, but they were accepted, so they came to the States and I wasn't allowed. And that's obviously when I also started to be creative, because I could finally kind of break free from a lot of cultural expectations. So kind of one, being like self-reliant or independent, but two, being completely rootless and not knowing, like not having a place that I really called home. I'm from New Zealand. I was born in New Zealand, so like that's the closest thing I have to calling home, but I haven't been there since I was like 8 years old. I haven't lived there since I was 8 years old. I think curiosity and a landlessness or a rootlessness are the two things that underlay me moving to, I think I moved to Vietnam, Nepal, Mexico, England, Germany, a couple other places. Like I lived in those places for a whilst waiting for this application. Funding was just through full-time work. I like would work full-time, save money, and then go live somewhere for a year. Like there was no like magical secret to it. It was just saving up money from full-time jobs. And similarly, that's what I've done. Like that's what I've always done. And right now I'm about to take 6 months off. And that's after me saving up, you know, money from full-time work. And it's probably going to be a continued pattern so that I can allow myself like time and space to reflect on things and be creative. But there is, you know, in the United States and in Oregon, there's lots of programs and opportunities for people to find funding. Oregon Arts Commission, Regional Arts and Culture Council, off the top of my head, but there's so many. They're all centralized. You can go online and find the grants portal. So people have ways to access funding. It's just a matter of like uploading a portfolio and just going for it, and the worst that can happen is people say no and you just keep applying. But generally what I always tell people is like, be, you know, honest, deliver what you promise, and also be truthful to like what it is that you want to say and do. Don't design something just because you think that's what they want to hear or see, but obviously as artists you want to be you know, truthful in the way that you approach things, and sometimes it's a journey just to find that truth, or like it might take a while. It took me, you know, at least a decade. So but I think people can tell when they're reading those applications, like when someone's genuine or not, or when someone's not like sure of their identity as an artist or not. So I would always start to calibrate your own practice before seeking kind of other validations or other supports, just so that you can be sure of your own, like your own theoretical framework.
We ask everybody that question, but I think that's maybe the most different answer that we've gotten.
Oh, the question really about travel?
The question about funding.
Funding, all right, cool.
Yeah. I think it's nice for young artists to understand all the different pathways that exist, like having a job and self-funding your work for indefinitely or for some amount of time with breaks, or not doing that and choosing to live really cheaply so that you can like try, experiment.
Yeah, it was pathways. I worked full-time during my master's in fine arts, and it was completely frowned upon. Like people had a really high expectation of me not working, and I was like, that's not an option for me. I'm gonna work full time and study full time in order to survive. So yeah, that's not gonna be negotiable. And I also don't believe in forcing people to choose anything. Like my job was as a social worker because I believe in doing that work. It's still really important to me to serve communities in that way. And now I do it in a different way, but I resent people like expecting me to choose between doing work that's servicing a community and doing work that's maybe more like gratuitous and like for my own self-expression, because I want to do both, and I have a right to choose both. I think like folks who are multidisciplinary, and that goes to like 12-year-olds who are multidisciplinary, you're always going to have people who are trying to force you to be classified or categorized or to choose something, and you don't have to. Like, they just want to do that for ease, their own convenience. Like, what are you? Are you a video artist? Are you a musician? Are you da da da? Doesn't matter, and you shouldn't have to give up parts of yourself as an artist or as a person just to appease someone else's desire to put you in a category. So,
yeah, you just spoke about, you know, not choosing a certain sort of media that you work with, and we spoke a little bit before about like what is the thought process of, you know, choosing some sort of project to work on, and how do you choose which medium or way of media you choose to present it in?
Yeah, I'm pretty responsive to environments, and that's something I say a lot. And I don't mean just being site specific, but being responsive to like the city that I'm living in and what's even possible. So like a lot of the travel that I did in my kind of early 20s was through making music, and we toured Asia, Southeast Asia, New Zealand, Australia, you know, like we were able to travel and tour through making music, because that's what people liked, and that's what they, you know, they invited us to their homes and to play for them, and that's, you know, what happened at that time. And you know, at the time I could have really been stubborn about just choosing sculpture or something, but that might not have brought me to really cool like island in the Philippines in the same way. So I think kind of I do a lot of accepting of invitations, and I, you know, try not to go where I'm not invited. And even my professional work, I don't advertise at all. I never have, and I've been doing it for 11 years total. I only respond to requests, and similarly my art is the same. It's like if people, you know, need something, a space filled, or a they want like something to address something, or they're trying to achieve something in their programming, and they know what I'm about, they'll ask me to just do something. They don't know what it is, they don't care what it is, they just want me to do something that fulfills this thing that they're hoping to fulfill. So that's like one thing. And then the other thing is Berlin. When living in Berlin for 5 years, the approach to art making there is extremely different to the States. There's less liability concerns, there's more freedom, there's more multidisciplinary approaches that are acceptable. And so knowing the limitations and kind of what's possible somewhere is important. Most of the stuff I did in Berlin in exhibitions would not be possible, physically possible, legally possible, health and safety possible here. So that's another, like, you know, restriction. And then
I'm also, I'm so curious what some examples of those pieces or projects
We made a Tesla coil and made lightning inside of the building, and then we took it outside and made lightning outside of the building. They just probably couldn't do that here. That's one example. I built this giant kind of racetrack that filled up like 4 or 5 massive rooms of the Kunstraum Kreuzberg, which is like a giant art hall, which again probably wouldn't meet like fire safety you know, regulations in this state. There's just like so many examples, right? And most of the work that I would do, most of the work that I want to do and would like to do, I can't physically do it in the States. So like So I just do what fits in the building, what people are comfortable with. Like when you work with curators or people who are stewards of their spaces, they're pretty particular about what they're okay with, and it's their homes sometimes, you know, so or their pseudo homes. So you just want to be respectful of people's safety and comfort level. So you go, okay, well, I'll do this thing that's much smaller than I would normally do, but I'll do it because that's what you've asked me to do, and that's what you're comfortable with. And the other thing I was going to say was, moving to the States, there's a specific history here of enslavement and colonization, so you can't ignore, like Greta was saying about, you know, not ignoring climate change, you can't ignore the history that this country was built on, and so I can't ignore that, and so that's part of the work that I do, is in response to this thing that is really specific to where I am. And there's places in the world where there aren't the same legacies, and so you are responding to different legacies or different histories. So that's another major, I would say, major part of being responsive, or being analytical of where you are.
Erica, did you want to ask anything else before I ask our sort of final question?
I think we have a little bit, we have enough time to sneak in a couple more. I'm curious a little bit more about some process or some like logistical types of questions.
Sure.
That's another sort of veil I like to reveal to on the show for young people who are like, how does stuff get made actually?
Sure.
And so I wonder if you would share any of your process of music making. I noticed in listening to your music, you use unconventional objects to make sounds. There's found sound or sort of recorded sight recordings, and in gorgeous music. I really, really enjoyed. I've never heard your music before till researching the show, so I was really excited to be exposed to that. But if you want to share anything about your process of music making, how do you take a musical concept, an album concept, and turn it into the finished thing?
Sure. I think just starting from whatever point you're most comfortable with is a good like beginning. I think often people are scared to begin or scared to fail, and so they don't ever begin, and just do the easiest thing first. And so for me, the reason I use field recordings is because I often am listening to my environment, and there's a lot of sounds that are interesting, and I'm usually capturing them on my phone or just whenever. And then once I have a decent collection or a decent variation in my field recordings, then I start to think about how this could build a textural soundscape or a body of work that is cohesive in some way. So I actually start with the field recordings, and then I loosely write music around the actual field recordings. But that's my approach only because that's what is the most accessible to me. As someone who is new to technology and doesn't really like using a lot of production tools, and isn't resourced in those things very much. As someone who traveled a lot and lived out of a backpack, you don't tend to like carry around a mixing desk, but I did carry around an acoustic guitar, or I was able to access one. So just like do what you can within your reach and start, and then see where the start takes you. The start can, and again, this applies to visual art or like installation art or video art or whatever. See where the start takes you. See if it also brings you new ideas, or something comes out of it that you didn't expect organically. Like it might point you to more directions that you hadn't planned on, and that's okay. And then like you can always add to things, and you can always take them away. You don't, when you add something, you don't have to keep it there. You're not tied to it. You're not committed to it. So you have a choice around what you leave in and what you don't include. But yeah, I don't know. I think, I mean, like, everything I've made is just like with one microphone and one program, depending on whatever is around. And, you know, I'm pretty new to computers as well. And I used to record on tape machines because it was just like easier for me to understand something in front of me visually. Yeah, and then the other thing is, I, you know, for a long time people, you know, were like, your music is a bummer, it's really dark, it's really sad, or they'll say, like, people make comments about like my weird song structures. And I would always say, yeah, a lot of the stuff I make comes from like a Buddhist prayer background, because that's what I grew up with, Buddhist temple music. Or it's based on, it's really similar to a structure of a Vietnamese folk song, because again, that's what I grew up with. But I think people will always want to tell you again where you fit in, what you're doing, how it's wrong, or how it doesn't fit into their idea of like a song structure or a classical structure or a traditional painting structure, whatever the thing is. So sometimes it's about knowing why or where it comes from, and sometimes you don't even have to know. That's fine. You don't have to make excuses, or you don't have to justify your own viewpoint. But if you like it and it's what makes sense to you, then do it. Don't do it because, again, some, you know, school of thought says this is how you make a song. You have to lay down these tracks first. You have to lay these tracks next. But yeah, I think like Billie Eilish, for example, is a really good example of someone who was exposed to a lot of knowledge, but also did things the way that they wanted to in their own home. They recorded at home. You know, came up with pretty unconventional songs that that a lot of people related to. So I think that's a good example of, you know, someone who's current, who didn't necessarily like go to traditional music school and recording school and production school and followed a bunch of rules. So yeah, but if the rules help you, then use the rules.
is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to talk about or share with us?
I don't know. I think that I'm just like a person that has like been a result of kind of the circumstances that I've grew up with, like being a poor kid, being a kid that moved down around a lot, being a kid that was homeless, being waiting around for like, you know, paperwork, and that ended up meaning that I was in situations I wasn't expecting to be in. And I think that sometimes we aren't in the family we want to be in. Sometimes we're not in the neighborhood we want to be in. Sometimes we're not in the body we want to be in. And it can feel really heavy and like really, really all encompassing. And then we remember that art is like a bridge, you know, a bridge outside of that, a bridge to escape that sometimes, a bridge to like survive it, or, you know, figure it out with other people or figure it out by yourself. But, you know, it's a channel that can like, can take you beyond sometimes the things that you feel limited by. So I think, yeah, I just think, I don't know. Yeah. And it's okay to be a bummer, I guess, is the other part of it. Is don't be afraid to be a bummer, because most of the world is bummed out, and people will appreciate your honesty or relate to you if you're a bummer. Don't, you know, don't change your message for other people. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that kind of answers our question, but I'll still ask it anyways. Do you have like any specific advice that you would give to sort of the younger generation of artists?
I think that often, like, I work a lot with people like under 18, and I think often adults and like older people treat, you know, younger people like they don't know what they're talking about, and it's just not true. And I often see on a daily basis, like even like a 6-year-old having their power taken away from them, and it like sucks, and it shouldn't be happening at all. And so I think that sometimes you do feel like other people are trying to push you into something or telling you something, but in your heart of hearts you know that they're wrong, or you know that that you have the right idea. It's just that maybe people don't understand what you're trying to communicate. So yeah, I think the communication part is the struggle, and I think art or writing or talking or calling your friend or texting or whatever, Minecraft, whatever, can be the thing that is helping you form the communication that you want to have to explain better to other people what it is you want to say. Because otherwise I've noticed that adults just tend to assume what you're saying, and then they'll like tell you why you're wrong. And it's sometimes not their fault, but it sucks being told over and over again, like, why, you know, who you are doesn't matter, or who you are is not in line with what other people expect. So I would just say, like, it takes time, it's really hard, but like life is this like cycle of trying to figure out communicating in finer and finer detail, or in more layered ways that are new and exciting, and people respond to different things, you know, like music, or you know, how something feels on your skin, or you know, like, yeah, maybe an Instagram story, you know, maybe a dance, like, but there are other ways out and other ways to get things out beyond what you think people are telling you to do. It's really, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
I think that often adults really suck, and they really, really don't try to understand, and they really don't put in enough effort to like, they just assume they're right, or they assume they're better, or they assume they're wiser, and it's simply not true. And I would trust your intuition and trust your knowledge and trust your lived experience 1,000%, and use that to like guide your decisions. That's mainly what I want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a different but great message that we've had before, that we've had someone say. And I guess before we end off, is there anything you would like to plug? Upcoming shows, websites, social medias, whatever.
I don't know. I guess I'm like working on a comic book that will be out sometime next year. I have a record label that it's been going for 11 years, and I'm about to release two albums next month. The record label is called N Out Recordings. The two albums I'm releasing are by a band called Ragana, who are from the Bay. It's two women who are from the Pacific Northwest who live in the Bay. Or one of them lives in the Bay, one of them is in Libya. But yeah, you know, two cool queer people who are also anti-fascist and anarchists, and they make gorgeous music. And so two of their albums on vinyl are coming out in December on my record label. So yeah, and that's my Instagram too, is N Out Recordings.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and having this conversation with us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well.
Appreciate it.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Portland. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.
Hoy martes 23 de noviembre del 2021. Angela Merkel, la canciller interina de Alemania, habría dicho a los líderes de su partido que las medidas del COVID-19 son insuficientes y advirtió que el país se encuentra en una situación muy dramática. Estamos en una situación muy dramática. Lo que está en su lugar ahora no es suficiente, dijo a los líderes de la Unión Demócrata Cristiana de Alemania en una reunión, según dos participantes, informa Reuters. A las personas en Austria no se les permite